Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
God, I just thank you that you are here. Your presence is already here and moving. And God, I just pray this morning we would have open and receptive hearts to hear what you would have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can take your seat. Hug the sister next to you while you're at it. Smell her. Ask her what perfume she's wearing. Oh gosh, this is going to be fun. My legs hurt so bad. First and foremost, even though Pastor Sharon is not here, I want to thank her for this opportunity to speak and share with all of you. I don't take this lightly at all. It is a huge honor and privilege to stand on this platform, and quite humbling, to be honest with you. So shout out to her. How many people love her? I love her. She's also my mom, so I love her a whole lot. But, you know, we've been in a series, if you've been coming to Sisters for the past couple of weeks, on the struggle is real. Can you say it with me? The struggle is real. I don't know about you, but life does not always go according to plan. As a mom, I know this now more than ever. I will plan to leave the house in 10 minutes, and it actually takes me like 45. Anyone else with me in that struggle bus? Or I plan a great outing and it pours, raining. Anyone been there? In fact, that happened to me this past Monday. I planned this really great zoo day, and as soon as we pulled in, it was like bucketing rain. So we did not go to the zoo. But oftentimes I found in life that life doesn't always go according to my plan. In fact, I'm also faced with a lot of things that I don't want to be facing or dealing with. Anyone else? Welcome to what I like to call Struggle Street, where you want something else to be happening or you're dealing with something that you don't want or think that you should be facing. You know, this morning I want to talk to you about how the struggle is real, but more than that, I want to talk to you about how there's actually power in our struggle. The premise behind this message this morning is that, to be really honest with you, I was in a season of struggling. I don't know if you've been in that season where you just feel like in every area of life you're being hit. Like everywhere I go, something is happening. And it was actually not all that long ago. In fact, it was probably only a year and a half ago where we were just going through a season of just dealing with stuff on every front. Anyone feel like that? Where you're just like, everywhere I go, there's something happening. And the icing on the cake was, I was pregnant at the time with Lennon. And we were moving because we needed a bigger house. And by the grace of God, our house that we lived in sold amazingly fast. And we didn't have anywhere to go. We didn't have a house yet to purchase. And there's a specific area of we were moving to Norfolk because that's where we pastor in Norfolk. And so we wanted to live where we were pastoring, the people that we were helping. And so we kind of, as I mentioned, we were dealing with all these other things. And this was kind of like the breaking point for me, if you will, or the icing on the cake. Because there was a certain area that I wanted to live in due to school districts and all that stuff. Because when you have kids, that's what you begin to think about. And so we were looking and looking, and we found a house and we loved it, and that fell through. And then found another house and loved it, and then that fell through. And we finally found this amazing house right in the neighborhood. I had been praying for a specific neighborhood, actually, that I wanted to live in. And, you know, it went on the market at like 7 a.m. Our realtor called us, and by like, I don't know, lunchtime, we went to go look at it because everything in the area that we were looking in went like ridiculously fast. And so we were like the first people to look at it, and we were like, this is it. Like, this is it. It was like right at the top of our price range, but I'm like, I don't care. I'm 7 months pregnant. We need a house. And so it was going to be a little bit of a stretch, but we were like, we just need a house. Let's do it. So we put in an offer, and you know, we were pretty confident that we were going to get the house. And so I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You came through for us. And we even told our family, you know, this is the house. We sent everyone the Zillow thing. We were so pumped. And then we get a call, and even the realtor was like, you know, they saw your offer. They really like it. And we'll have a decision in the morning, but it's looking really good. And the next morning, we got a phone call that we had put in a great offer, in fact, a full price offer, and someone offered more after us. I know, that was like a punch to the gut, because I'm like, Jesus, I serve you. I'm moving to Norfolk for your people. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, we have already been through so many different random things, and yet I am facing something else. And to be honest with you, I was having a pity party for myself of, you know, God, why are we dealing with this right now? I need a house for this child. Like, hello. And I came across this scripture, and it kind of was like a bit of a slap in the face to me. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 33. And this is Paul boasting about his sufferings. I know, crazy. It says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Here I am crying about the house that I can't buy, and here's Paul boasting about how, like, he almost got killed, I don't know, a lot of times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. And we can kind of read over this and be like, oh, that's nice. He was beaten with stones, okay? 3 times I was shipwrecked. I don't know you about you, but I have never been shipwrecked, nor do I want to be. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have constantly been on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the, in danger everywhere, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. And then he goes on to talk about more of his struggles. He's gone without food, without clothes. And then if we jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he's continuing this passage. And it says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, and this is the part that I hate, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in the struggle, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. That's what I want to share to you about this morning. And don't worry, I'm not going to finish that story, but God came through and provided an amazing house in the exact same neighborhood that was way better in our price range. And we were actually able to redo some, you know, stuff in it. So all that came full circle, and God is great and amazing. But I just want to talk to you about the, you know, when Paul says that we can delight in our struggles, because when we are weak because of Jesus, we are strong. There's actually power in the midst of our struggle. But first, before we get into a few points that I have, I want to uncover the biggest lie, what I call on Struggle Street. And that's the lie that you're alone in this. You know, the enemy would love to make you feel isolated in whatever you're facing, that you're alone in whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're dealing with. And social media, to be honest with you, doesn't help that. Because we look at the facade that everyone else puts on. You know, you're not going to see on my posts, you're going to see the split second that my kids loved each other and were hugging. You're not going to see the 25 hours of fighting that I just went through to get that one photo. Am I right? And we can almost be disillusioned and feel pressure that our lives have to be perfect and that no one else is struggling with this. No one else has a family issue. No one else has a financial problem. No one else in the world. And can I tell you, that is a lie from the enemy. All of us, if we were to be really honest this morning, if I were to have you bow your heads and close your eyes, which I'm not going to do, if I were to say, is there something this morning that you're struggling with, something that you're battling with? If we were really honest, I guarantee probably all of us would have our hands up. You're not alone in this. You are not alone. You know what I love is first and foremost that God is with you. He will never leave or forsake you. You may be in the midst of a struggle so big that you feel like God has forgotten you. Can I encourage you? He has not. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave nor forsake you." John 16, 33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God is with you. And you know what I love is that in community, when you're in community, you are reminded that you are not alone in this. And that is why I love that as sisters, we're actually kind of changing things up in this season. And if you've been coming for the past couple weeks, or maybe you haven't and you don't know what changes I'm talking about, I'll explain it really quickly. And that is at starting in October, we are going to be gathering together like this on the first Wednesday of the month. And then for the second, third, and fourth Wednesdays, we're going to gather here at our Great Neck campus, but it's going to be in the form of community groups. And you know what I love is that it's in community groups and in those smaller settings that we're able to be open and honest with people, understanding that we're all struggling, we're all dealing with something, and be encouraged in whatever it is that we are facing. Amen. So a few things learned in the midst of the struggle. Number one is that the struggle broadens and strengthens you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, the passage that I read earlier, it says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Have you ever been through something and you just thought, "I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this," or I don't know how I'm going to make it through this, and then somehow miraculously you do, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I did it. Like, I have overcome the world right now because I didn't think I could make it through that, and I made it through that." You know, I went through a season when I was in college where I had just gotten engaged to Jared, and I was working full-time, and I was also in school full-time getting my master's in business administration. And so what that looked like for me, and I was also very involved in community groups and in our youth at the time, and so what my life looked like was a little bit crazy, but I would be in class. I would work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and then Monday through Thursday nights, I would go straight to Old Dominion University. This is before online classes. I sound so old when I say that. I'm not that old, but so I would go straight from work to school, and I'd be in class from 7 till 10, 4 nights a week. And then on Friday nights, I ran my community group. And then on Saturdays, I was involved in our youth program. And then on Sundays, I was helping with our worship team. And so I was in church all day Sunday. And I remember being a little overwhelmed in that season. And I remember people coming up to me and being like, "You need to, you know, take a step back." And I'm like, "No, I can do this." And then I'd be like, "Oh my gosh, I can't do this." And I remember in that season being a little overwhelmed, a little bit feeling like, you know, life was a bit of a struggle. But can I tell you that I made it through it? I am here. I have survived. We were engaged at the time, too. So I was also planning our wedding during that whole time, the 6 months that my life was like that. And so we kind of had a lot on our plate. And Jared and I would see each other, like, in between church. Those were our dates doing homework. But I made it through in the midst of a crazy season. And you know what that did for me? It gave me a little bit of strength that when today I'm facing a busy or a crazy season, I go back to that time. I'm like, "No, I did it then. I can do it now. I made it through then. I can do this." It will give you strength. Every struggle, you have the opportunity to let it break you or strengthen you. Choose to let it strengthen you. You know, I read this story last year of a moth, and I know as soon as I say moth, I've lost like half of you, because I probably would be one of those people. And I don't even remember the article that I read, because I hate reading too, so I don't even know how I found this. But I'm going to read it because it helps illustrate the point that I'm trying to make, that there's actually strength found through the struggle. And I'm going to jack the story up, so I'm going to have to read it word for word, so bear with me. It says, a man found a cocoon of an emperor moth. He took it home so that he could watch the moth come out of the cocoon. One day, a small opening appeared, and he sat and watched the moth for several hours as it struggled to force its body through the little hole. The moth seemed to be stuck and appeared to have stopped making progress. It seemed as if it had gotten as far as it could, and it could go no farther. The man, in his kindness, decided to help the moth. So he took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The moth then emerged easily, but its body was swollen and small, its wings wrinkled and shriveled. The man continued to watch the moth because he expected that at any moment the wings would enlarge and expand and be able to support the body, which would contract in time. But neither happened. In fact, the little moth spent the rest of its life crawling around with a small, swollen body and shriveled wings. It was never able to fly. The man, in his kindness and haste, did not understand that the struggle required for the moth to get through the tiny opening was necessary to force fluid from the body of the moth into its wings, that it would be ready for flight upon achieving its freedom from the cocoon. Freedom and flight would only come after the struggle. By depriving the moth of a struggle, he deprived the moth of health. And the article went on to say, sometimes struggling is exactly what we need in our lives. If we were to go through lives without any obstacles, we would be crippled. We would not be as strong as what we could have been. And it actually ended with this thought, which I loved: give every opportunity a chance, leave no room for regrets, and don't forget the power in the struggle. I thought, wow, how challenging is that? That there's actually strength found in the struggle. The strength you may need for the future can be found in the midst of your struggle today. That there is strength found in the struggle. Number two, the struggle reveals things about yourself that you wouldn't have seen before. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8 says, count it all joy, my brothers, or we're going to insert sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. Isn't it funny that when life hits and we're facing something, it tends to show us our weak and vulnerable areas? Last year, I was helping someone prepare for a calculus exam that they were taking. If you don't know me, I love math. There we go. Just got it out. I love math. In fact, went to Old Dominion, and before I got my master's, I actually got my bachelor's degree in applied mathematics. I know some of you are like, are you crazy? Yes, I just love it. In fact, I loved it so much that up until having kids, if I was really stressed out — now I don't have time to do this — but if I was really stressed out, I would just sit and do math problems, and that would de-stress me. I know some of you are like, that would stress me out to no end, but that's what I would do. I know it sounds crazy. I just love math. Again, I don't have time to do that anymore. I wish I had time. But I was helping this young girl that comes to our church. She was studying for an AP calculus exam. And I, in my naivety, offered to help her. And I'm thinking in my head, I got a degree in math. She needs help with calculus 1. And I went up to calculus 6. I know what I'm doing, right? And so she sent me kind of what they were going through, and I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't even look at it, because I'm like, I know how to do this. And so anyway, I get to meeting her, and we have to go through a practice test. And so we go to go through the practice test, and I have zero idea how to do any of this. Zero. Now, remember, I studied math for my bachelor. Like, all I did for 2 years was math problems when I was at college. Like, I should know how to do this, right? No. So what happened is I, like any great math tutor, looked in the back of the book and scrambled to try and figure out, because anyone knows that in the back of the book, they not only have the answers these days, they have the way in which you get to the answer. Thank you, Jesus, for whoever did that, because you're helping me. And so I scrambled to help her, and I probably screwed her up more than I actually helped her. But she passed. Don't worry. She did great. And maybe that's funny. You know what it revealed in that practice test that I did? It revealed that I was very vulnerable in math, that I wasn't maybe as good as I thought I was. And I wasn't as, because it had been a very long time since I've actually done anything like that. And maybe it's funny when it comes to a practice exam that I'm doing on a calculus book, but it's not so funny when it comes to real life. The struggle that I'm going through, if we liken it to a test, is showing me that I'm vulnerable in this area. I'm vulnerable in the way that I'm thinking. I'm letting myself think thoughts that I shouldn't. I'm vulnerable in I'm not getting enough alone time with God. I'm not as practiced into getting into my Bible as I once was. What is the struggle revealing to you right now? You know, I'm going to be really honest with you today. And this past year, we, as I mentioned, last year kind of was like big old struggle street. And after I had Lennon, I had a number of health challenges. And there's nothing more that takes it out of you than a health challenge, right? And so I just went through a season of literally every month there was something that I was dealing with. And it wasn't just like a little cold. It was like awesome infections. I ended up with a really bad staph infection to the point where I couldn't walk. And I'm not saying this for you to pity me. I'm fine. I'm good. But I ended up with, we're women, so we can talk about this. I ended up with mastitis 4 times. Anyone ever had mastitis? That is like purely from the devil, mastitis. Gosh, it was awful. I ended up with a number of different infections. I was like living at the doctor. It felt like I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get well. And in that season, you know what it revealed to me? 2 really big things. Because through that struggle, I noticed that I began to develop this fear inside of me. And I'm not by nature a fearful person. Like I'm like, yeah, let's do this. You know, I'm probably a bigger risk taker than I would like to be. But I became super consumed with fear, especially when it came to myself and when it came to my family, like way over fearful about everything and anything. And you know what that season revealed to me? Honestly, it revealed, number one, that my health was not my priority, that I was really good at taking care of everyone else and not good at taking care of myself. So first of all, that needed to be a priority in my life. And it also revealed that my quiet time with God was not where it needed to be, that I didn't need to face this fear, this crazy fear that would fill my life. And don't get me wrong, I had a quiet time, but it wasn't where it should have been. I wasn't getting into those moments praying, God, take this fear from me. I need to remind myself who you are, who you've called me to be, that I am not given a spirit of fear. Amen. We need to remind ourselves, let the struggle not discourage you, but encourage you. What can I work on? You know what I worked on? Was getting rid of that fear, was getting in my alone time with God, reminding myself who I am, who he's called me to be. The struggle reveals things that we wouldn't have seen before. Number 3, and I hate this one, the struggle doesn't excuse your behavior. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 through 18. We're reading a bit of scripture today. I hope you enjoy that. Summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. And I love this. That goes for all of you. No exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful, snub evil, and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you're worth. God looks on this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked, but he turns his back on those who do evil things. Wouldn't you love a free pass when it comes to dealing things that you don't want to be dealing with? I mean, I would. I guess you don't, but I do. I would love to just act however I would want to act when I'm dealing with things that I don't want to be dealing with and just, you know, have a crazy day for a moment. Well, unfortunately, we can't do that. You know what I love about the scripture is he says, oh gosh, I've totally lost it. That goes for all of you, no exceptions. Not when you're having a good season, not when you're having a bad season, all the time. You know, recently I had one of those days, in fact, I kind of had one of those this morning, where you feel like just getting out of the door is like the biggest, for those of you with little kids, you know what I'm talking about, or those who have had kids, you know what I'm talking about, where it is just an effort to get out of the door. Anyone else been there? Yes, I may have had another one of those today. But I had one of those days, and I had taken Jax to the doctor because we found out I had an ear infection, and so he was miserable to start with. But you know, in his little way. And I also have a child that, I don't know if any of you have this, but after I give him medicine, he makes himself throw up. Anyone else have that? Like, he hates it so much that he knows how to make himself throw it all up. And then I'm like, well, do I give you more? But we don't really have enough if I give you more. Anyone else dealt with that? Nope, just me. Okay. And so I was having one of those days where he had thrown up all over all of the clothes. Like, he wasn't actually sick. He was making himself throw up. He made himself throw up, and so, of course, it's a day that we have church, and I need to get somewhere. And so I'm like, Jax, oh, my goodness. And then something else happened, and I was just a hot mess trying to get out of the car. So I'm already mad. And so where we live, there's a street. There's a one-lane street that I have to take for, like, a mile in order to get down another street to get on the interstate. And of course, I get stuck behind this beautiful woman who has nowhere, obviously, to go because she's driving like 5 miles an hour. And maybe I'm the only one that struggles with road rage here this morning. Obviously not. Thank you for being honest with me. And I was, you know, when you're just like already over the top, like just let one more thing set me off and I'm just going to lose it. Well, that happened, and I'm, like, late, of course, because I've had to change Jax's clothes, and he was pumped about life, and so I'm behind this beautiful old woman who's doing nothing wrong except driving really slow, and so I'm behind her, and I'm just getting really frustrated, and I'm like, come on, let's speed it up, like, at least do the speed limit, come on. I'm already late, I'm scrambling, I'm, you know, whatever. And so I find myself getting really, really heated. And keep in mind, I have both of my kids in the back seat. And I'm like, hurry up, you idiot. And as the words come out of my mouth, I forget that I have a 2-year-old at the time in the back of the car seat who copies everything I say. So immediately, you know what comes out of his hat mouth? Hurry up, you idiot. And I'm like, oh, no. And we're going to church to make it better. So I can't wait for him to get in that kids program and be like, you know what my mom said in the car? Hurry up, you idiot. And then our nursery workers think that I'm crazy. Whatever. But I caught myself in that moment where the Holy Spirit just whispered to me and was like, you know what, Alyssa? You can't control necessarily what happens to you, but you can control your response. And just because you're having a moment doesn't excuse your behavior. You're a Christian. You got to live this out, lady. And I was like, okay, thanks. Yes, got it. Holy Spirit, thank you. And I'd love to tell you that I haven't done that since, but I'm still a work in progress. Aren't we all? Because something bad or annoying is happening to me, it doesn't give me the freedom to act crazy. Let this be a gentle reminder that people are watching your response. In the middle of whatever struggle, whatever battle you're going through, maybe it's not family or kids, but maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone else that you don't even realize is watching how you navigate this struggle. You know, because I think about my kids. I have a little guy and a little girl. And they are dependent on me to walk through whatever battle I face fully trusting God. Or I will have children that grow up and think, my mom says she trusts God, but you should see her in the car. She is yelling at people, screaming at people, calling people really awesome names. They're watching the way that I live. In the midst of my battle or my struggle, can I trust God? God, I give it to you. I know that when I am weak, you are strong. People are depending on you. They need hope from your story. The struggle doesn't excuse our behavior. And in closing, I'm out of time, so I'm just going to give you this point quickly, and I'm going to ask the band to come on back up. Number four, in the midst of the struggle, do not give up, because on the other end, there is breakthrough. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 7, it says, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. John 16, 33. I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, as I read earlier, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Galatians 6, 9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Can I encourage you this morning? Do not. Give up. God is with you and you will make it through this. You know what I love is that the way that we find victory is through our relationship with Jesus. And with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, you know, I spoke about struggles and battles that we face and how there's power in them because of Jesus at work in our lives. And maybe you've never heard of Jesus or how he can be at work in the midst of your life. Whatever you're facing this morning, you can meet him. Maybe you've never heard of a Jesus who can walk with you, who loves you, who can give you strength, who can stand with you, that you can actually face any battle like Paul says. Because when you are weak, he is your strength. This morning I want to ask you, do you know him? Are you in a relationship with Jesus? Or maybe you once were, but if you were to be really honest with yourself this morning, you know that you are not walking with him. And as I mentioned, every head bowed and every eye is closed. This is a private moment. I just want to ask you, if you're like, yes, Alyssa, that is me this morning. If I'm honest, I don't know Jesus the way that you spoke of him, or maybe I once did, but I'm not walking with him today. Can I just ask you to raise your hand? Just say, Alyssa, include me in your prayer. I want to know him like you speak of. I want him to be with me and know that I'm not walking alone in this. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? We'll just give you a few more seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. Can we repeat this prayer all together? Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Forgive me of my sins. From this day forward, I will love and serve you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give it up for those beautiful ladies?
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.